And welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. In studio tonight, we have Karen Roberts and Michelle Porter Roberts.
So hello.
Hello, guys.
So happy to have you.
So happy to have you.
Happy to be here.
And Michelle and Karen, you've been together for 8.5 years married, but
that's right.
30 years of, what do you call it?
Off and on.
Off and on.
I call it off and on.
So, okay, wonderful.
So, Karen was on a previous show talking about her clothing line or new business, Hot Butch. How do you call it?
Hot Butch.
I said it right. Hot Butch. Ooh, and hot is H-A-U-T-E. But Michelle did not accompany her on that show with a very dear friend and Outbeat host, Michaela. So Michelle, Karen's wife,
that's right,
is here. And so they are here together, of course. And we are going to be discussing their relationship, what works, what doesn't work, and how they navigate the world.
Yes. And they are so excited to share with all of us. And we are so looking forward to it. But first, we have news and events with our Outbeat member, Greg Moralia.
Say it. Tell it like it is.
Good evening. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for Sunday, November 4th, 2012. The LGBT community is out and about far and wide in this Tuesday's election. And this year, there are more gay candidates running for a seat in the U.S. Congress than ever before. And in Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin is hoping to become the first openly lesbian United States senator in history. Marriage equality will be considered this election day in 4 states, including Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, and Washington. President Obama has come out in support of these marriage equality measures and recently appeared with former President Bill Clinton in an ad that aired in Maryland. And LGBT voters, who could make the difference in this close presidential race, appear to support President Obama in even greater numbers than they did earlier this year. This according to the Harris Interactive poll conducted for Logo TV last month. They found that after the last presidential debate, 72% of likely LGBT voters favored the president, up from 65% in the previous Harris Logo survey. The movement toward Obama is mostly a shift of LGBT voters who were unsure of the initial vote in August. If Election Day is as narrow as many predict, Romney's inability to turn the unsure LGBT votes to his candidacy could mean the difference between victory and defeat. And from Napa, the Napa LGBTQ Project released the preliminary results of their ongoing countywide needs assessment. The feedback indicates that a majority of LGBTQ residents in Napa County have no idea where most local elected officials stand on LGBT issues, or whether they are willing to do so to address safety and inclusion for LGBT people living, working, and going to school in the county. Many survey respondents did say they would like elected officials to help raise awareness and visibility. Napa LGBTQ Project Director Ian Stanley said that an email was sent out to all candidates for the Napa County Board of Supervisors and any city council or mayoral position within the county of Napa to get their thoughts on the issues. The responses received from candidates were posted online early last week. You can learn more and read some of the responses at www.napalgbtqproject.org. And here in Sonoma County, the money race between two candidates vying for Sonoma County's 1st District Board of Supervisors seat has narrowed in October. Susan Gorin still trails rival John Sawyer, who is openly gay, by more than $60,000 in contributions received since the start of the year. But Gorin eclipsed Sawyer in the latest reporting period from October 1 to October 20th, pulling in $40,641. The two longtime political opposites in the Santa Rosa City Council and their sometimes bitter rivalry has spilled over into the county race to decide who replaces retiring supervisor Valerie Brown. If elected, Sawyer would be the first openly gay candidate elected to Sonoma County's Board of Supervisors. The first district represented by Brown since 2002 includes Sonoma Valley east to the Napa County line, the city of Sonoma, and the unincorporated communities of Kenwood, Glen Ellen, and eastern Santa Rosa. Sawyer has maintained a fundraising edge throughout the race, which began more than a year ago, and heated up when the two Santa Rosa politicians advanced from the June primary. Gorn was the top vote-getter, edging Sawyer by less than 200 votes. Sawyer this year has raised $281,866, including a $16,300 loan. His largest contributions in the latest period were $2,625 each from the Sonoma County Alliance, a coalition of local business interests, PG&E Corporation, Wine Country Party and Events LLC, and the Sonoma County Law Enforcement Association. After the period closed, Sawyer reported a contribution of $2,625 from C.R. Frederick Incorporated, a North Bay engineering and electrical contractor. Gorin this year has raised $218,421, including a $10,000 loan. Her largest contributions this period included $2,700 from Gene Schultz, $2,625 from the Sheet Metal Workers Union, Union 104, and $2,725 from the Sonoma County Democratic Central Committee. And just in case you've lost track, Election Day is this Tuesday. Polls open at 7 a.m., and you'll have until 8 p.m. Tuesday night to cast your vote. Now here's your calendar events for the coming week. On Monday, November 5th at 7 p.m., the Parents of Transgender Youth Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, November 6th, and every Tuesday from 1 to 4 p.m., rapid HIV testing will be offered at Face to Face, 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. And on Wednesday, November 7th, from 6 to 9 p.m., Mama's Family, the 12th annual toy drive happens at the R3 Hotel, 16390 4th Street in Guerneville. A toy donation of $5 gets you dinner and dessert, and there'll also be a raffle. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
And welcome back. Here we are at KRCV Studios, and we have Karen Roberts and Michelle Porter Roberts in studio with us, married for 8.5 years and together 30 years off and on. And we wanted to talk to you about that. Yes, Diana?
Yes, yes. I love the laughter in here already. So we're going to get dirty and down deep right now. 30 years together of off and on. What was that about? Who wants to share with us?
Oh, good God.
So, Michelle.
I will.
Okay.
This is Michelle. Well, let me start with when I first met Karen or laid eyes on her. And it was, I was with in a relationship, and a mutual friend of ours invited us over to meet Karen, who at that time was her partner. They were both in the Navy. Oh. And Lynn had moved here to Santa Rosa, and Karen was coming out from Houston. And so we were going to all gather to meet Karen. So I remember we were sitting in the living room, and Karen came walking out of a back bedroom threading a belt. Now, this is 30 years ago. I remember every detail. She was threading a belt through her pants, and her head was kind of down. And then she looked up, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I thought, uh-oh. And it was just on. I mean, it was like this instant thing. And she went in, she got rattled and went in the kitchen, like to do something. But I saw she was rattled, and I immediately said, oh, I need a glass of water.
Oh.
And I went in
right
the kitchen.
Then and there.
Yeah. And I went in the kitchen too.
She saw I was having a hard time.
Goodness.
She came and put herself right there on me.
Mm-hmm. I did. And so I went in the kitchen and was trying to chit chat with her, but you know, that was the beginning, and I feel the same way today as I did then about her, you know. So the off and on part was that Karen's 12 years younger than me, and, you know, she was from Houston, I'm from Sonoma County, you know, there were a lot of differences. And we struggled, you know, we struggled being with other people and wanting to be together. We cheated in relationships to be together sometimes. We broke up with people to be together, would try to be together and would just struggle. We fought a lot. We're both we're both very opinionated and strong, and we would just, you know. And we were also both drinking at the time. We both have been in recovery for 25 and 26 years now, but that didn't help, you know, add alcohol to the picture.
Right.
And, but we tried, you know, and then we'd break up and we'd try again and we'd break up and we'd try again. But, you know, nobody, I don't think anyone else stood a chance with us really, because our hearts belong to each other, you know, and it took me a long time to really get that. The longest we were apart was 18 years.
Apart?
Apart. We were apart 18 years, and I remember the day that she came to the house. We weren't, she was with somebody else now, and she came to the house, and I said, I can't even be in a friendship with you. I can't see you. I can't do, I just, we need to just stop, because whenever we get together, you know, we start intriguing, we do the same thing, and we can't not do it.
What do you mean what, by intriguing?
I mean that we were so attracted to each other that we would start flirting with each other and, you know, just doing things that were inappropriate if you're in a relationship with somebody else, which she was. And as a matter of fact, the person she was with came to my house and said, that is my partner, and I want you to stay away from her. And I said, I can't. I want to, and I can't. And she said, then I suggest you start praying to be relieved of your obsession with her. And I said, I will try that. I will try that. And I really meant it, because I was new in recovery. And I didn't want to be operating in that lack of integrity, but I could not stay away from her. And so I did pray. And when she came over, I said, we just can't be around each other, because if I'm around you, I'm going to do the same old thing. So it's better if we don't see each other. And I really meant it, as hard as it was. And that was the beginning of our 18-year separation. She was with this other person, right? Did I miss anything?
So, no, except we saw each other throughout that time. We just weren't together a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And she maintained a relationship with my daughter, or my daughter with her, both ways, that they really adored each other.
Oh.
But Shakira, my daughter, has so much integrity, even as a young girl. She would never tell me what was going on with Karen. I'd try to pick her, like, how's Karen? What's happening? And she'd say, Mom, you know, I'm not going there with you. So, you know, she's fine. That's all I'm going to tell you. You know, and that was my only connection to finding out what was happening with her over the years. Mm-hmm. So I was in relationship to other people. She was with the same person for 18 years. Mm-hmm. I was in and out of relationships.
Mm-hmm. So, Karen, I want to ask you about your partner came over here to talk with Michelle.
Yeah.
And did she talk to you?
Oh, yeah. I don't think she talked to me quite the same way about it. I think she was probably a little nervous to talk to me about it, or to even call it what it really was. But, yeah, so I knew when she was headed over there to talk to Michelle, and I called Michelle, she's on her way, and found out later what happened. But no, she didn't really talk to me about it in the same way. And then I found out later that there were times when maybe we were in the same grocery store when I was with my partner there, and Michelle was in the store too. My partner would guide me away as to not see her, you know. And if I saw her, came face to face with her, like at church or something after the end, I just longed for her. I missed her so much. It was so unnatural to be away from her.
So what's the longing? What was so special about Michelle? If you can tap into that.
You know, she asks me that too sometimes. And I wish I could really put words to it. But, you know, I think today I would just say that I adored her spirit. And regardless of how we behaved together back then, or just our own individual behavior that would get on each other's nerves or whatever, I saw in her a deep love, and I just couldn't let it go. And I always worried that whoever she was with would take care of her. Mm-hmm. Really, really take care of her and see her for who she was. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did you both seek any help in the beginning?
I mean, we needed help.
No, I'm not.
She just said we needed help, if anyone didn't hear that. Karen.
I'm just curious how it worked in the early stages. You know, I knew the alcohol was happening, but what was, you know, did you seek help? Did you know to seek help? Or,
you know, it's funny because at the time I was actually a psychiatric nurse, and you'd think I would know to seek help, but I think the alcohol was such a, it was the other person in the relationship, really. And so, you know, my thinking wasn't clear. My thinking wasn't good. I was an alcoholic. And so the idea of going for help, I was still stuck in, I can do everything myself. I don't need any outside help. And what would you say?
Yeah, I'd probably say that I didn't really... I thought I knew everything. Yeah, I thought I just, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't need to rely on anything else, and that I knew what was best for me and what I was doing and all that. And I was probably all of 24 years old, mm-hmm. you know, and didn't know anything. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was really stuck in just self-will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your support system, your family, let's talk about family and support. Who was there for you? Any? I mean, in your coming out state, when you were coming out. Yeah, we're going to talk about your coming out story, but as far as your relationship goes, who was there for you?
Oh, then?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't know if anyone was, because we were such wildcats and so crazy that, I mean, our families weren't really involved in that. Karen's mother was, who was in Houston, had this strange concept about lesbians and said that she thought Karen was living with me and was that I was tying her up and forcing her to do unnatural things. You know, that's kind of where she really said that. That's where she was coming from. So we didn't, I don't think that we sought family support. Mm-hmm. And my kids sort of just went with whatever I was doing. You know, again, you have to remember, I was drinking, so... Mm-hmm. It just wasn't about that. It is today, but it wasn't like that then.
Well, you mentioned kids. How many kids do you have,
Michelle? I have two. I have a son who's 44, and my daughter is 38. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Katie.
That's nice. Oh, so the kids are listening?
Shakira probably is.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. We should have her call in.
Yeah.
Call in, Key.
How sweet. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's back up a little bit, and I want to hear about your coming out stories. Who wants to start? You have a coming out story. You're looking like you don't have a coming out story. You were in the Navy. What was going on in the Navy?
Well, let me just say that I so did not want to be a lesbian. Because of the things I had heard in my family and the rejection that I felt just by even suggesting that maybe, that I really tried to force that down. And when I was going into the Navy, I felt some comfort knowing that I would find out once and for all, you know. And lo and behold, in boot camp, if you can imagine this, like I think back and go, how in the hell did that happen? In boot camp, in the barracks, at night, I had a girl sleeping with me in the barracks at night while they were doing the security walks and the whole bit. And I still wasn't positive.
Call that the big D.
Yeah.
Big denial.
Yeah, I still wasn't positive.
Wait, so this is when you could get kicked out of the military.
Oh yeah.
And you are like
Well, first of all, the good thing was that I had a position. I was the guidon bearer that carried the flag, and I did the cadence call for our folks. And so there were some perks that went along with that, so nobody ever talked about it.
Oh, people knew, but they didn't talk about
it. They knew that this girl was in my bed all the time at night, you know, but nobody ever reported it.
Mm. So how did she get in your bed?
She would just come there.
You just went to bed and there she was.
She just come later. She just come.
Okay, let's get this back on track. Oh, that is too funny. So yeah. so what are some of those things that your family, you would hear them say, Karen?
Oh, you're going to end up dead somewhere. You know, this is that's a dangerous life. You know, you won't get good jobs. People won't like you. They won't want you around their kids. You know, that's like the lowest of the low. You know, I'd be embarrassed if I found out that's what you were. You know, when I was in the Navy and I called my mother from, I was stationed in Hawaii, and I called her because I had just gone through my first heartbreak with a woman. And I called her after it had been about a week and a half, and I was so down. And I said, and I choked the words out through tears. And I said, I'm in love with a woman and she just left me. And she said, what? And I eked it out again. And she said, I'm going to call your commanding officer and let them know that you're a bulldagger.
Oh,
wow. And I was like, I didn't know how to feel. I just had to get off the phone because I didn't know where to put that. Just broke my heart even more, you know. So nobody was there for me in that way, where I could talk about what was going on.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here listening to this incredible story with your mom, and I'm wondering, Michelle, you mentioned that Karen's mom lives in Houston. I'm wondering if there was any healing around that, Karen, as the years moved forward.
Well, it took quite a few years, and I would say probably in the last 3 maybe years, she and I had been able to have a relationship, and she adores Michelle, just adores her. And she can just say, you know, I'm just so glad you guys are together. I just love her. I wouldn't want you with anybody else. Da 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 da. But it has gone through its twists and turns. And a lot of it really, her being out of my life. I couldn't take that on. I just absolutely couldn't. And it the package that it came in, it wasn't like... Like with Michelle's mother, it was more like a denial of who you are. We won't really talk about it. And with my grandmother, it was kind of like that. But I knew, regardless, she loved me to death. That was her faith. That was how she believed spiritually. And it had nothing really to do with me. I was able to make that separation. But the comments, they felt assaultive. And those I couldn't. I just couldn't do them. I was way too young. My poor little psyche. Yeah.
Wow. That's heavy. Yeah.
So you're in separation from her at that point for a while?
Yeah, for a long time. And I would just check in with her like maybe once a year. I'd call her and say hi and see what the climate felt like. And if I didn't feel... like it was safe for me, I just stayed away. And that's how I really ended up here instead of going back to Houston when I got out of the Navy. I didn't want to go back there.
So you say these awful things that you heard as a child. What happened with the, how did you squelch that and say, I'm not going to be a lesbian? Did you kind of go out with guys? Did you try and be feminine or whatever, you know, be a girl? I mean, not a girl, you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
A girly girl.
A girly girl.
We know what that means.
We know what that means.
Yeah, when I first came out, in fact, I was really femme, you know, because I was still carrying over my had been 16, and I was like tight jeans and pumps and who knows what. I don't know. And then I met this woman when I was in the Navy. I'd just gotten out of boot camp. Thank God that girl was sleeping in my bed. It helped me get real. You know, so I met this woman who I really liked, and she was kind of femme. And she said, "You know, I really like you." She said, "But I think you'd just be so much hotter as a butch." And I think probably a week later I was a butch.
What did you do different?
I threw out those pumps right away.
What did you wear instead?
I wore like tennis shoes and, you know, just flat shoes. I got out of the tight jeans. I think I changed my hair. I wear any makeup, and I started trying to teach myself how to shoot pool.
You are too funny.
It worked too because I got her. Got her for a short time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Cool.
But that was really who I needed to be too. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she saw you.
I wouldn't be Hot Butch today.
We'll say a little bit about Hot Butch since people may not know what you're talking about and how you spell it.
Hot Butch, HAUTEBUTCH.com. Is a clothing and lifestyle brand for women that prefer to dress in menswear, androgynous looks, but that fit her body. And our website and our Facebook has amazing things going on, not only with the clothing, but the calendar and our fashion shows and the whole nine. It's just amazing. Just love it. So please come visit the site or look us up on Facebook and join our community.
So you're saying because that woman and you transformed a week later into a butchy woman, that's why Hot Butch exists today?
Yeah, I didn't really have the right clothes, you know.
So you were trying to help yourself back in the day.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think for me too, partly how Hot Butch got started was... I started working in the business world a few years ago and came up against not having the right clothes to wear. And I was constantly second guessing myself and my confidence. You know, I felt like my clothes were leeching away my self-esteem and what I was bringing to the table. And I knew I belonged in this setting, but I was constantly looking at other women, my peers, and they were in their little suits with skirts and pumps, and I didn't want to go back there. And I was just constantly worried about, do I look as nice? And so that's, to me, in part, why Hot Butch needed to exist too, because we need fly clothes, whether we're on the streets, in a nightclub, in the boardroom, wherever.
For those of us who don't know what fly means, could you translate, please?
I'm a fly girl.
What is that?
Let's see. That would just mean, like, today that would probably just mean modern. And fresh. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm so old now. I barely remember what they say today.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 50. I just turned 50 a few months ago.
Oh, well, happy belated birthday.
Congratulations.
You're not that old. Got another half a century to go. I think it's time for a music break. And Michelle, we understand that you brought some music. Would you like to introduce it?
I did bring some music, and this is Etta James with At Last.
And there's a story.
There's a story about this that when Karen and
along, oh, and my lonely
Support for Living Proof and Outbeat Radio tonight on KRCB-FM comes from members and from WACOBB.net. With over 10,000 members, WACOBB.net is a bulletin board for the North Bay Progressive Community, including a business directory featuring testimonials from trusted business community. Information on how to list your business or find a service provider is available at WACOBB.net. That's WACOBB.net, connecting conscious community.
James, at last. Michelle and Karen brought, this is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan. I kind of got mesmerized with the music. They brought this music because it means something to them. So Michelle, could you tell us about why you brought this beautiful song?
Oh, I will.
When Karen and I decided we were going to get back together and that we were going to really commit to this relationship, this is the song that kept playing in my mind, At Last. And I remember I was on the phone with her and I was sitting in the parking lot in front of what is now Oliver's but was Albertson's parking lot. And I was playing this to her over the phone and saying, this is how I feel. And I still feel that way, you know, that at last I'm where I should be. And this is, you know, especially this go-around with us, this last 8.5 years, is where I've really learned how to love somebody and how to allow myself to be loved. You know, and I'm 62, so it's just been like in my 50s that's what she brought to me. And I think that's was our purpose in being together, is we really learned how to love, really love, and what that means.
Mm-hmm. Say a little bit about that, the love. How did you learn how to love? What showed up for you?
Well, you know, the first few years, first of all, we got together on a very tacky note. Let me just say that honestly, that we were both in relationships again, that we left to be together, and we hurt people, and it was just tacky. It was not good form at all. And what was the question again?
How you learn? I know you went somewhere, but it's fine. How do you learn how to love? How do you learn to do that dance together?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, initially we were running on all that, you know, love and passion of being back together, but then some really hard times hit, some big differences. And I say that we just went to hell together. I mean, really. We went through just an incredibly difficult, painful, stressful, every word you can use that indicates stress applied. And I was ready to drive my car off of a cliff. I mean, that's where it was at. It was so bad. And we couldn't hear each other. And I remember us being so desperate during that time that we would lay in bed in the morning and we wanted so much to connect, and we would pray. We would say the Serenity Prayer, we would say the Hail Mary, and we would say the Lord's Prayer, just saying, help us, please help us. And we'd lay there and we'd do it every morning, and we'd say to each other, are you going to love me today? Mm-hmm. We could just love each other a day at a time. It was such a painful time. Mm-hmm. And it went on for 2 years. We got into therapy. We were desperate to stay together, and it was so hard to be together, but we couldn't leave each other either. And we got into therapy, and for 3 years, we saw Lorraine Blue. I just have to call her name, because she really allowed us to see each other and to heal and to understand and to find our love and to allow each other to be. And we grew through that, and we stayed together. I look back on that, and it's like, oh, my God, we were so – it's so amazing that we made it through that. It was really, really difficult, and it would have been so much easier to leave than to do that work. Mm. But we did it, and we came out the other side. Mm. And I'm so grateful, because really, I love her, and I remember Lorraine saying this. Is it more important to you, she said it to both of us, to hold on to being right or to having your way than to show this person that you love her, and that maybe that means giving in or doing it differently out of love? Can you do that out of love? And that was like a new concept to me. Oh, I do love her, and yes, I am willing to do this. And so it started with just these small things, these small ways that we each did for each other that were out of love. And we learned to love each other in those ways and to show each other love in ways that were seem so simple but were so difficult, you know, when you're holding on to your control stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when I say I really learned how to love, I learned to love her as she is. And I also allowed myself to open to love and be present. I could hardly hug because I didn't come out of a family where, you know, there was hugging and affection. I mean, my mother's famous quote was, you'll just have to believe that I love you because I'm not demonstrative. That was her quote. And that's how we grew up. So, and Karen is very touchy-feely and loving, and so I had to meet her halfway. And, you know, today, it's just amazing to me, you know, that, I mean, we sleep curled all around each other, and we hold hands, and we touch a lot, and we talk a lot, and our hearts are so open to each other. And it is because we stuck and worked through that really, really hard time that we had to learn to see each other. And to open to love.
Thank you for sharing that. Oh, Karen, you want to add some? What's happening with you?
Oh, I'm just feeling all of that as she describes it. Feeling the, you know, the amazing fear that I had and that I know she had, and how hard we really tried. I just know those prayers had to have something to do with where we are today, you know, along with Lorraine. What's really, really clear to both of us is that we came together with so many fundamental differences, you know, like she just described. I remember one day, well, my big deal was I didn't want to say
how I was feeling inside. I didn't want to ask her, oh, can you hug me now? Mm. It was hard for me. I was, number one, too butch. And I had too much ego. And so when I would be seeking what I needed from her, the presentation wasn't one that went over well for how she grew up, and it would rub her the wrong way. So not only was I left with how I was feeling, I didn't get that comfort I wanted from her because she wasn't reading it that way. She said, oh, you sound angry. You don't sound hurt. You sound angry. Mm-hmm. And I'd go to my mind and say, how do I make this sound different? You know, mm-hmm. can't she just see I just need her right now? Mm-hmm. And she would stand pat, not move. And I'd just be standing there, and eventually I'd probably start crying, and I'd go, why can't you come to me? And I remember this one particular time, I could see that she wanted to. I saw she really, really wanted to. And I saw she was stuck. And I said, oh my God, what is this? And she just looked across the room at me, stuck. And so then my love for her was like, okay, I'm going to choose to see that she wants to be. I'm going to choose to believe that. And she would say things like, I just don't know how. And I would say, put your arms around me. Aww. You know? Oh. And you know, so we started like that, but we had to get this to this place of the stripping away of the ego, mm-hmm. and that we really wanted these things from each other, nobody else, and that we were willing to go as vulnerable as we could. I remember one time Shell saying to me, you don't have to say what you just said to me that way. I love you. You know I do. And I'm vulnerable. Please don't talk to me that way. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuff would get to my heart. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, really hurt her. No, I don't want to talk to her that way. I don't want to see her talk that way to anybody. Mm-hmm. And it would that stuff would change me. Mm-hmm. So we felt like we were turned inside out. I mean, finances, her way was don't share. And mine was Cher. Her way was like, you owe me $5.21. And I'd get my feelings hurt. Oh, yeah, she was dead serious about that penny.
That's right.
And I would get my feelings hurt. And I'd be like, how are we family if I owe you $5.21? Hmm. But she came from, you keep your feet under your own table.
Another one of my mother's lines.
Thanks, Mom. Mm. And so I was there. I was getting my feelings hurt left and right about that kind of stuff. And eventually we got to a place where it was like, I can't stay with you another day and have the $5.21 rule apply. I can't do it. I'm not wired that way. And we decided through therapy that we were going to trust each other, and we were going to listen, and we were going to go all in, mm. no matter what.
So was that hard for you, Michelle, to give up the $5.21 rule?
I do have it written down somewhere. Yeah, it was hard to find a way that it would work for both of us, but we did it. We did it. Yeah, it was really hard.
Scary, too.
And scary.
And scary for both of us.
I mean, I think what you're bringing up is something that all couples face is money. Money is a huge issue, and depending on how we're raised with it, you know, somebody might have had it all their life and is more free, and someone might not have had enough, and you come together, and your spending habits are different. And so, boy, my hat's off to you. I just watching you and seeing, you know, you tearing up and remembering those times is very potent for me. And I thank you for sharing this very vulnerable place with me and Diana and our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Wow. Powerful.
So we didn't get to your coming out story, Michelle. Mm. Could you share a little bit about that with us?
Sure. Oh, boy. It's like there's so many levels to coming out. You know, it's not like one thing. But what I remember is in high school, I was attracted to two girls. They were both named Linda. But one of them was my roommate when I graduated from high school. And she was definitely a butch. And I was very attracted to her. And but I couldn't let her know it. I had a boyfriend. And she was very attracted to me. And we did this pseudo dance, you know, and of not touching each other and all that. But I sort of knew it inside, and it scared me. And so I got pregnant. I just got with my boyfriend. I got pregnant. And, you know, and I think that really tied into it. And, you know, and I dated men and married my husband. And but when I was married to my husband, I had an affair with a woman. I took this gay studies class at Sonoma State. And it's like it was, you know, it was just in me that I was so attracted to women, and I loved women. You know, I mean, a lot of my work, you know, was in domestic violence and sexual assault work, and I loved women, and I loved our stories and our lives. So anyway, I ended up finally coming out, and at that time, when I was married to Charles, he was like a, we were sort of like, I don't know. We were in the community, really in the black community, and people really looked at us in a certain way. So it was like mind-blowing when I came out. People were really angry with me, especially Charles. And, you know, but the community was angry at me. And so that was hard. And when I came out to my mother, I'm so glad you asked this question because it's the best quote of life. I've told my mother, this should be a poster. It took me all day. I was at her house all day with the intention of coming out to her, you know. And my sister-in-law went with me to support me, and she was saying, come on, we've got to go. Like, you know, I've been here now for 6 hours. Oh. Get it over with already, you know. Oh. So finally I go in her bedroom, and I close the door. I said, I have something I have to tell you. And she said, are you sick? And I said, no, I'm fine. She said, if you want money, just forget it. I'm not loaning you any money. You know, and I said, I don't want any money, Mom. And she goes, well, what is it? I said, I'm a lesbian. And she said, oh, for Christ's sake, I've known that for years. What I want to know, sorry, Dave, on this one. She said, what I want to know is, have you always been like this, or do you just hate all those son of a bitches? Never get over it. Excuse my language, but that's exactly what she said. So in terms of saying that, you know, that old myth that it's gay women that don't like men, it's here's my mother, the straight woman of life, you know, and that's her response to me coming out. But it's, but she, like Karen said, my mom was somebody that wanted to hide that reality. She couldn't, she sounded cavalier, but she really couldn't deal with the fact she had a daughter as a lesbian until I'd say the last probably 15 years. She's really come along, and she's crazy about Karen, just crazy about her. And comes really close to calling her my partner to people. She my refers daughter. To her as her other oh. daughter and things like that. But she's not hiding so much. And my kids, when I came out to my kids, my son was, I think, about 14. And he said, now, does this mean that I'm gay too? Am I supposed to be gay now? And I said, no, no, it doesn't have anything to do with you. And my daughter wrote me this little letter about how scared she was about, you know, was this going to be in the newspaper? Oh. She was entering eighth grade, you know, and she said, Mom, please remember when you were in eighth grade. And, you know, she was really scared. And I still have that letter. It was so sweet. She said, I love you so much, but I don't want this in the Press Democrat. Yeah. So, you know, and then as far as the work, all my life, the jobs I've worked in have been in supportive environments, mental health, you know, healthcare. I'm a nurse practitioner. And I remember when I came out in my nurse practitioner role to the practice I was in, because it was going to be the gay parade. And I said, I should tell them that I'm gay. They're going to see me in the gay parade, that my patients are going to see me in the gay parade. So I went in their offices, Lydia Schindler, Lydia Mertens, and Lana Gwynn. And I said, I have to tell you this, blah, blah, blah. And so Lydia Schindler looks at me and she goes, well, I hope this isn't an invitation for all of us to have to talk about our sexuality. And Lydia Merton said,
well, both my parents are gay. I don't care. And wow. Lana Gwen just said, I'm really busy. This doesn't have anything to do with anything. I got to get back to work. So I've had some really wonderful experiences with coming out.
I'm curious about the church. You mentioned the church and they were on the outs. You guys were on the outs, and now I heard you earlier mention that you're back in church. So how did that work out? Supporting your coming out and leaving your
there's many stories about that. But actually we had attended the Center for Spiritual Living. Yeah.
Oh.
And so it was a non-issue there. And when we go to church, that's where we go. We don't go to church that often, though. Mm-hmm. But in the way back, when I first was coming out, I was working in the Baptist church, Reverend Coffey's church, over in South Park. And it did not go over well, mm-hmm. Let me just say.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, that's what I was curious about. So how old were you when you met the girls in, with it, elementary school or high school, when you say you're attracted
to them?
And then you got pregnant?
I was 14, 14. When I, the first Linda, okay. Who worked as a kind of like a farmer's helper, she was maybe 16.
Uh-huh. So anyways, my point is I'm getting to the butch thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you liked them way back then.
Yeah. She was butch too. That's why I was telling you.
I know.
Was a farmer's helper. And I ended up going out and shoveling hay and doing all this really hard work just to be with her. I remember that, you know. Oh. Yeah, she was a butch. And then so was the other Linda that I ended up being roommates with. I've always loved butch women.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But this is my all-time favorite.
Oh.
Yeah. This is my only butch woman right here.
That's right.
So, I'm so sorry. It's the time that we have to think about closing our show. And we always get to this time and say, dang, that hour went by quickly. We'll have to have you back because there's so many more questions that we have. But for now, what we like to ask our guests is to leave our listeners with some advice. Because you have, and Karen, maybe you can lead off in your answer, and then Michelle, maybe you can take some time to think about it and come in after Karen. But you both have lived a long time. You've been 30 years on and off, and these last 8 and a half have been together, fully committed. And there might be some other people out there who are listening who are struggling, and you know, you explained and expressed to Diana and myself when you first got here that, you know, sharing your stories, you were hoping to help other people. And so we thought that was a lovely sentiment that you came in with. So what would you say to somebody who might be struggling as well?
Well, first of all, I would say, if you're drinking, please seek help. You know, there's so much out there now. So, that would be the first thing I would say about that. And then, you know, I think one of the things that I really have learned in my relationship with Michelle is that if we're meant to be with somebody, it doesn't matter how many years go by, doesn't matter what all happens in life. If that person is who you're meant to be with, worry not, because you will end up with them. We were apart for a long time, and our love for each other held out. Mm-hmm. And so there's that. And I would also say that, you know, if you're struggling in a relationship or just in your own self, you know, please go seek help. You know, see somebody. Go talk to a therapist and drag your partner with you and lay it out on the table. If you love that person enough that you want to go through life with them, open your wounds to them, and that's who you want to help you address those wounds, drag them to therapy, you know, and be willing to get honest and do the work. Mm. It's not easy, but boy, it's really worth it.
Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, last words of advice,
it's
of wisdom.
Kind of an echo of what Karen said, that, you know, if you're drinking or using substances, any kind of drugs, you're not there. You're not present for a relationship. I wasn't. And, you know, get some help around that so that you can be there. And I have to really echo what Karen said. If you're struggling in your relationship, don't give up. It's so easy to just leave. But when you leave, you're just taking all that unresolved stuff with you, and you're going to play it out again with the next person. It doesn't go away. So if you love the person you're with, work it out with them and get some help to do it if you can't do it alone. It's hard to do it one-to-one. And if you get some help with a third person present, it's amazing what can happen. But don't give up. You know, stay in your love. It's worth it.
Stay in your love. Beautiful. Let love lead, right?
Yes.
Right. Beautiful.
Beautifully said.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We want to thank you both so much for just opening up your hearts and letting us see you, letting our audience, the listeners, hear you. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
And thank you all for joining us. I suppose you could say, just like Karen and Michelle, with dedication, commitment, staying in the love, you too can be living proof that you can work it out and you can work it in and be with the one that you want to be with. Until next month, Diana and I say
good night.
So many answers, I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that to question is how we grow.
To question is to grow.
So I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop.
Join us next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. right here on KRCB Radio. Here's a quick check of the weather. Tonight, skies remain clear with a low around 51 degrees. Tomorrow, the sun returns with an expected high near 90. Next chance of rain in the area comes this Thursday. You're listening to KRCBFM Windsor Santa Rosa News, Arts, Ideas Where You Are. On the air and online at 91.1 and 90.9 FM. Streaming worldwide at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. New Dimensions is next.
I feel my spirit rising, change, yeah. We need a change, yeah. So do it today, yeah. Cause I can see you. So what?